If you hear some cheering outside, we're recording this before All Campus Sing. It's the 60th annual All Campus Sing. Beloved tradition here at Murray State.
Oh, absolutely. It is. And it is a lot of fun. And, you know, it culminates at Leavitt Auditorium, one of the steps. But it really, it's a 3 to 4 to 5 week tradition where every night walking home from Wells Hall to back to Oakhurst and hearing the individuals, the organization sing on the various steps. I don't know how many times they would be on the steps of Wells Hall singing as we're holding a meeting in the conference room there. Mm-hmm. Something that's very special, something that's very, that really establishes Murray State on a great platform. So again, it's just exciting to see them do everything that they're doing.
In last week's town hall meeting, you mentioned the word privatized, a term that sets off alarm bells for many in public higher education, and it doesn't seem sustainable. Can you explain what you mean by Murray State has become privatized, and how does this course turn around?
Well, I think that when you say that privatization is not sustainable, I actually would disagree with that. The dollars coming from the state, state-funded dollars, state appropriations, and other resources also coming from federal government, et cetera, has significantly declined. We can document that over the last 10 years. We can document that over the last 15 years. And then also within those dollars, the ability to use those dollars for education and general operations has become even more and more restricted. 10 years ago, we received approximately 43% of the state appropriation, and that includes auxiliaries. If you do not include auxiliaries, that number actually goes up to about 60% of our budget. Now we're down to 28%. Again, that's also including auxiliaries. And if you take out and just talk about the education in general, that number drops down. But a very important part within that is 10 years ago, our state appropriation, 10% of our state appropriation covered all of the pension cost. 10 cents of every dollar that the state provided us would go to the pension. That number is now going to be nearly 50 cents of every dollar. So not only has the dollars gone down, but the ability to use those dollars for the education enterprise has significantly been strained. So at the same time, we are now being more reliant on the funding sources from private sources, our students, their families, private gifts, and et cetera. That is what we mean by becoming privatized. And the privatization of higher education is extremely well documented, and it does change the focus, if you will, of how you think about and run a university. Is it sustainable? To not think about us as a privatized university is not sustainable. To say that we can continue to rely on the state to fund a majority of higher education, that is not sustainable. During this time frame, we've seen increased enrollments. And the numbers are going down from the state. So we have more students and we have less state appropriation. To not think about tuition dollars, to not think about where the funding sources are coming from, that to me is not sustainable. It is, and I will be very clear, we are not becoming a private university. We are not a private university in terms of legal as well as ethical and moral stances. As a public university, we are here to serve the public good. We are here to provide access to students who are college ready and college able. We are here to serve a public mission in serving our communities. And we are also here to serve the public good. To do those activities, however, we must have a privatized viewpoint of our financial operations and those type of things. You know, a good case in point of that, too, in the current budget that is being sent back to the General Assembly, there is no budget for capital asset preservation. If we are going to tackle deferred maintenance on our facilities, if we're going to renovate a facility, if we are going to do any major capital restoration, and which we need to do, all of those funds need to come from our coffers. We cannot, there is no allocation whatsoever in the public funds to support these facilities, which are actually publicly owned. And so, again, the model of privatization, we're not private, privatization of our business model is where we are. To not acknowledge that, not to realize the importance of recruiting and retaining students and making sure our students are able to graduate and to go out and do amazing things, because that helps with, again, the recruitment, and to be very aggressive in our recruitment activities and our retention efforts. That is where we will be able to see our budget grow, to stabilize and those type of things. State appropriations over the next several years, A, are going to be coming more and more through the performance funding model, which is, again, based on recruiting students, retaining students, and graduating students. And even through that model, the amount of funds put into that model will not significantly increase over the next several years. In fact, this year, all of the state universities received a according to the budget that is being sent back to the General Assembly, is receiving a 6.25% budget reduction. They did put $31 million into the performance funding pool, but the number of cuts outweighs the money that they're putting into the performance funding pool. And I could see that type of budgeting process escalate in the years to come.
In the town hall, you mentioned around 10 to 15 filled positions are to be eliminated. Do these people know who they are?
This is probably, well, I wouldn't say probably, this is the hardest part of our job, and especially in these times in which we have to make personnel decisions. And it's very difficult, but we need to shrink some of our operations. And we have notified the individuals that are currently on the reduction in force list. They were notified over the last couple of days, and we've done so early. In previous years, we've actually done it later. We've done so early this time because we want to work with those individuals to have them have opportunities for jobs that may come up between now and the end of the fiscal year. We want to work with those individuals to see if we can place them within Murray State and on our campus. As we continue with the budgeting process and continue to finalize various decisions, we may need to increase that a little bit. It will not be significant increases, but we may need to add some individuals to that reduction in force list. We will do so in a manner, again, that is as humane as possible. These are professionals. These are individuals. These are members of our community. And we will treat them with the utmost respect and provide them all the possibilities that we can.
Outsourcing several services on campus was presented as a means to meet some budgetary needs. Is the hope or expectation to have contracts for all of these by the beginning of the next fiscal year? And should any of these not be outsourced, would there be further job loss or program cuts to address that funding?
Well, outsourcing, again, is a very difficult decision. We're dealing with community members. And we've always had a mindset, and I think it is a good mindset, of how do we make sure these individuals remain employed at Murray State University. Because of the pension crisis, because of the significantly increasing cost of the pension, this year, 49 cents of every $1 in wages is going to the pension liability, if you will. Next year, that number is going to be 84 cents, and that will, and most likely will not decrease in any time in the near future. And that's for KERS employees. We've been notified that KTRS, the teachers' retirement system, which also has a lot of professional staff in it as well, will most likely double next year. And so, again, that is escalating. And so when we think about the cost of employment escalating so high, we need to find ways to avoid that cost. And outsourcing is a way in which we can do that. And to me, what that does is it preserves the opportunity for someone to be employed within our community and serve Murray State. The big difference is by outsourcing, we don't have those expenses on our books. The individual firm coming in would absorb those costs, and they also would not have as high costs because they would not be paying into the state pension process. And so, again, I want to be very clear, this is not an issue about the quality of service. This is not an issue about the individuals themselves. This is a discussion of cost and how to preserve opportunities for employment. We do not want jobs to leave Murray State. We don't want jobs to leave the community. And how can we, in this fiscal environment, keep those jobs in the community and serving our great university? We're looking at dining. That one is a very large one. The RFP is out. We believe that seven firms are looking at it very heavily. Will all seven make a bid? Probably not, but we expect a good response. And we would expect to have that one turn around fairly quickly. Would it start by July 1 or close to it? Most likely. Again, but the bids that may come back may not prove that point out either, and we'll have to go to Plan B. There are some other areas, buildings and grounds and facilities and those type of things, that can be done a little bit later. We've built in some flex time, if you will, and on the budgeting process, so not everything has to start July 1. These are monumental shifts. These are significant work to be done on both sides. And so we've built that into the process, and we will be following through on those activities. If something significantly changes or, alters that, we will have to make other decisions. And what those are at this particular time, you really couldn't tell. You know, a budget is a plan. A budget is a forecast. A budget is a set of assumptions of revenues and costs and activities and various things along those lines. I was, you know, once told, and I believe this, you know, you do a budget and approve it on June 30th and set it in motion, and on July 2nd it's outdated. It's all about making sure we have correct assumptions, making sure that we have contingencies in play, making sure that we have alternatives and the flexibility to make those type of decisions.
Health services was mentioned to as not being in the next budget. Is the hope there that a contract will be inked fairly soon, or if there's no contract for this, then would there then not be health services provided?
What we're looking at there, and it's really interesting, we did two RFP rounds and did not receive a bid that, to be honest, met the needs of Murray State of having health services on our campus. To our credit as a community and to the detriment of the RFP process is that there's very strong, viable health services very close to Murray State University through urgent care systems, through the hospital, and through various other type of things. And so the organizations that would typically come to work on a university saw those other entities and basically said, we're not going to be able to provide the services that is truly needed. And so what we're doing is working with the local health providers. We will be designing hopefully some preferential treatment for our students and et cetera. And we'll be looking at how to provide transportation to and from the campus for those students, and also working with those providers so that if a student does not have insurance, that there is a fixed cost that they can know about what they can do. So having health services on campus next year will not happen. That is a budgetary type of decision. It's a very unfortunate one. Health services costs roughly around $600,000 to operate. That was a very difficult decision to make, and we are working on the finalization of that plan with the local urgent and hospital care associations to properly serve our students and also provide opportunities for others.